Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. This program is supported by San Juan Health Partners Urology, providing a wide range of personalized services for the whole family, including children. Our caring professionals are dedicated to helping meet your urology health needs with skill, experience, and service you need. For a complete listing of our services and to learn more, visit sanjuanhealthpartners.com or call 505-609-6300. San Juan Health Partners Urology, a division of San Juan Regional Medical Center. A lot of my guests this morning, again, we are talking about the concept of Farm Farmington, and my guest here in the KSJE studios, Molly Jackson-Nielsen is here. She's the project coordinator with the San Juan Soil and Water Conservation District. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in to talk a little bit about this concept. And a lot of folks are wondering what Farm Farmington is all about. And this is really a project that expands beyond the city limits of Farmington. You're really talking about all of San Juan County, right?
Yeah, so Farm Farmington is an initiative of San Juan Soil and Water Conservation District to support and expand urban and community agriculture in the, quote, Farmington metro area, which is, as you know, San Juan County.
Right. And you've been working on this now for a little over a year. About how long have you been part of this project?
So it's actually less than a year old. We got a grant from the National Association of Conservation Districts that started in August. So okay. I've been working on it since August.
Like 6 months or a little over mm-hmm. 6 months maybe. So, yep. But now we're getting into the growing season. So now's the perfect time to start talking about some of these ideas, right?
Yes, it is so exciting. Yeah.
And so when we talk about urban and community gardens, and maybe folks have heard a little bit, but they haven't quite maybe understood what they're all about. But the whole idea, and as we talked before we came on the air this morning, is about sustainability, maybe healthier fruits and vegetables and things like that by being able to either grow our own food or go to the grower's market or things along that line. And that's just kind of getting the awareness about more people growing some of their own food.
Yeah, yeah. So when we talk about urban and community agriculture, the urban part is pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
Community agriculture is not very tightly defined. I like to refer to it as agriculture initiated by the community and benefiting the community. And so there's a lot of ways in which urban and community ag contribute to a healthy and sustainable food system, especially locally.
And so a lot of folks may be thinking about, you know, if Farmington, our roots are in agriculture. Mm-hmm. We were a farming town at one time, which is how the town got its name.
Mm-hmm.
And so even in the harsh climate of the Southwest and here in the Northwest New Mexico, farming can certainly be accomplished. It's doable. It's achievable. All those types of things, right? Maybe a little challenging at times.
Yeah, yeah. So that was part of the reason to call the project Farm Farmington. 100 years ago, this was one of the agricultural centers of the Southwest with all of the surface water and the growing seasons that were longer than those in southern Colorado. And so we've got all this topsoil, surface water, and a lot of people living within city limits. So agricultural production has decreased as a portion of our economy here, but it really hasn't as a part of the culture. So we want to help folks get back to those roots.
Right. And so a lot of folks, and I talk about this with my guests from the growers market too, is that that they will certainly promote locally grown food, growers market food, and certainly talk about the taste and the nutritional value of food that has grown maybe that morning, and you go to the growers market and buy it that afternoon and serve it to your family for dinner, and it certainly has a different, better taste, texture than something that was picked maybe a few weeks ago and put in a truck and trucked across the country, halfway across the country to get to our grocery store where we bought it and served it, same kind of a thing. So it's kind of a healthier option, right?
Yeah. So as we talked about earlier, produce does start to lose nutritional value the second it's picked. And so the quicker you can eat it after it's harvested, the better. And so a farmer, our local farmers markets, which are starting up again in June, in Aztec and Farmington, and actually in Shiprock as well, are a great option. And another thing we're working to help folks with is to get involved in many of the community gardens in this area, and also to do some backyard or porch gardening if they want to.
Okay, and that leads me to a whole other line of questions, because it opens up a whole lot of other things to talk about.
Can of worms, so to speak.
Right, well, kind of. Worms could be helpful, I suppose, exactly. Right? So there you go. But as we talk about then community gardens, and you mentioned to me that there were a number of community gardens already established that maybe folks aren't aware of, and so it's one of your jobs, I think, with this program to help maybe coordinate and help those community gardens to become more successful?
Exactly, yeah. And so if folks are interested, they can contact me and I can get you in touch with gardens that are up and running in Shiprock, Waterflow, Bloomfield, Aztec, Farmington, etc. So yeah, just want to help connect folks with what's already going on.
And the concept there is I get to have a little plot of land and grow my own stuff, or are we all working together for the betterment of the whole garden, or does it just depend on the organization?
Yeah, it really depends on the garden. First Baptist Church in Bloomfield has a really kind of classic open community garden model where you pay $10, I think, for the season, and you get your own growing box and your family comes and you water it yourself, and it's a great option. The garden that I'm working with the most right now, New Beginnings Community Garden in Farmington, which is located at New Beginnings Transitional Housing and Support Service. It's more of a shared model. So we have shared rows, it's flood irrigated, and community gardeners, residents, and program staff all grow in those rows, and produce is shared between residents and community gardeners. So you get to take some stuff home, and you also get to know that you're improving access to fresh foods for the residents of New Beginnings.
Got you. And so those are just two of the examples that are around the community, correct? Mm-hmm. There's more to talk about. And then you mentioned backyard, like we're, I think, all familiar with, the garden in the corner of the yard or whatever it might be, and porch gardening, which is a little different concept too.
Yeah, so it's funny what when you look at kind of urban agriculture resources from all across the country, you realize that here in Farmington, we do have a lot more access to land and water than folks may in New York City or but there's still, I live in an apartment. I don't have, you know, soil to grow in. So it's a great option for me to be able to grow in pots. Mm-hmm. And so right now I'm also working on a low-cost home gardening guide and display for actually Tres Rios Habitat for Humanity. We're going to put it up at their store, so you can go find out how to put something together that's affordable for your home and potentially buy the materials there. Another great resource for home gardening is obviously our local extension office. I'm sure everyone knows Bonnie Hopkins, the wonderful ag extension agent here, and she coordinates master gardeners, and there's 5 bazillion master gardeners in San Juan County who would love to help you start gardening at your home.
Okay, lots of them.
Yes,
that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. And so with that being said, this can also be an option for maybe a low-income family that maybe wants to eat healthier to grow their own food. I mean, the price has got to be a better deal than going to the grocery store.
Yeah, so that's a big part of this initiative, is to help improve access to nutritious, healthy food for low-income families and individuals. That was part of the motivation for the grant. As folks may know, a large part of the Four Corners area is classified as a food desert, which is measured. One measure is distance to the grocery store and accessibility to the grocery store, as well as income, because if you live next to a grocery store, you still might not be able to afford it. So one great option is our local farmers markets. They do take SNAP benefits and our double up food bucks program, where you can basically get 2 for 1. And then to supplement and go with that, backyard and community gardening is a great option for that. The Food and Agriculture Organization has actually made the statement that urban agriculture can really make an important contribution to household food security. So even just a small plot or a few pots or growing boxes or membership to a community garden can dramatically increase the amount of nutrition that a struggling family can get from day to day. So that's a huge part of our motivation, and many of the community gardens around here are oriented towards low-income families, also just anyone who's interested, but it's a great option.
Right. And when you talk about food deserts and things like that, I mean, I know folks would say, well, I don't live next to a grocery store, but there's a convenience store just down the street, and I can run down there and grab some food when I need food. But they don't always have the healthiest options, do they?
Yeah, and that's a big challenge. So convenience store food, and not, you know, not to disparage any convenience stores, it's often much, much more expensive than food in the grocery store. In fact, food in the grocery store is usually more expensive than food at farmers markets.
Right.
But yeah, so and so I know there's a very limited number of grocery stores on the Navajo Nation and in the Four Corners area. And what that doesn't take into account, obviously, is community gardens and food grown at home and food traded between neighbors. So that's a big motivation, is how can we supplement this? How can we use the resources that we have and help folks with something that they're already interested in, something that they want to be able to do themselves? Let's help connect them to resources.
Right. My guest this morning, Molly Jackson-Nielsen, is here. She is the project coordinator for Farm Farmington with the San Juan Soil and Water Conservation District. We're talking about urban and community gardening here in San Juan County, part of a grant that she is working with. And we'll get up and running, I guess, full speed this growing season, probably, right?
Yeah.
As things get warm up. Eventually, they're going to warm up. We know it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really soon.
And not to disparage grocery stores, because they do a great job of bringing us other exotic food and things that we can't grow locally, and that's kind of what some of their strengths are. I mean, if I feel like a banana, I'm not going to get a locally grown banana in San Juan County.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know, grocery stores do play a role in kind of our food formula, if you will, of trying to balance our diets and eat better. But locally grown food, as we've mentioned, is still healthier, more nutritious, and those types of things. It'd be great if we could get some grocery stores buying from the growers market to be able to offer that to their customers.
Yeah, and that's a challenge and something that folks are working on all over. How do you connect farmers and growers with grocery stores in a way that benefits both of them? Same with schools, other big purchasers. And that's a big thing that Bonnie, myself, and actually Judy Castleberry at the Quality
Enterprise
Center.
Yep,
we're working on that, yeah.
Wonderful. And restaurants, too, I would think, would be another potential partner in this as well. If you could get a chef or a restaurant that would be able to advertise locally grown food and their recipes, food tastes a little better than maybe what the other places are doing with maybe some of the store-bought
absolutely
stuff.
Yeah, and the great thing about that too is that when you have those kind of transactions, those dollars stay here at home.
Right.
So yeah,
and it's a really interesting concept, as we said, that, you know, this community was based on farming. We have more water than most communities in the Southwest, even though we live in the desert. Water is still precious and scarce at times, but Farmington, San Juan County is better placed than most with surface water that comes and flows through here every season, luckily.
Yeah, we've got it pretty good. Crossing our fingers that the low snowpack this season can stretch through the growing season for sure.
Right. But with the reservoirs and things like that, you know, usually we're in pretty good shape, unless we maybe get two or three dry years in a row. Folks get really, really worried. But
yeah.
But compared to other places, it's a big difference for Farmington than other places.
Yeah, if you talk to folks in more the Rio Grande Valley, Taos, Santa Fe, when they see our irrigation ditches and the size and the volume that we're growing at, they're just, I mean, we've got it made.
Right. And so if someone wants to either start a community garden or a backyard garden or something like that, what resources maybe can you help with this grant or with this program to get them going? If water is a concern, if I'm out in the middle of nowhere, how do I do that?
Yeah, so we can offer conservation technical assistance as part of this grant. We also have funding for supplies if folks are starting some sort of gardening project. Email me at farmfarmingtonnm@gmail.com. I can connect you with Office of the State Engineer, NRCS, Master Gardeners, other resources that might fill some of the gaps in information and materials that you are experiencing.
So materials, give me some examples of what types of things we're talking about. I mean...
Yeah, so with New Begin...
You don't have a bunch of dirt at your office, do you?
No, okay. Not at my office. But that is, I mean, that is an option. Basically, we have this funding, and a large part of it is going towards New Beginnings Community Garden. Right. We just bought a new tire for our tractor so that we can plow and disc this season. And we also have a small pool of funds that are going to be spread out between, among other gardeners, Samaritan Village Community Garden and Aztec is one of those. That being said, if folks want help with other, you know, smaller material resources or to get connected to potential funding, I really want to help with that. So.
Okay. I'm thinking maybe things like irrigation supplies or
sure,
things like that.
Exactly,
that
could
be helpful with even a smaller garden.
Yep, irrigation, building supplies. We just actually purchased 2 high tunnels with New Beginnings Community Garden. Topsoil is a challenge sometimes with okay. certain locations that folks are at. Soil testing is a big one that we can help with.
Cool. To find out, I guess, what would grow best in the soil that you have at your location.
Or what kind of amendments you want to make
fertilizer,
to the soil.
Fertilizer, things like that, or what type to use.
Yep, exactly. Manure, green manure, compost, all that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Let's take a short break. When we come back, more with my guest in just a moment. We are talking about Farm Farmington. It is the urban and community gardening program for all of San Juan County. Back with my guest with more in just a moment right here on KSJE. The time is 8:31.
Social media can do whatever it wants with its advertising business, especially in politics.
With respect to Facebook, there's no transparency, and we don't really know what sorts of arrangements are being made, who's buying the ads.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood.
Marketplace Tech is supported by Epson. The new EcoTank 4750 printer comes with up to 2 years of ink in the box for all your business printing needs. Cartridge-free printing with EcoTank. More information at Epson.com/EcoTank Marketplace. And by Baird, providing global financial resources and market expertise to clients the world over. RWBaird.com has more information.
Advertisers spent $83 billion on digital advertising in 2017, most of that on Google and Facebook. And digital advertising budgets are only growing. But the rules around ads online aren't keeping up. Companies have the right to ban any ads they want. Facebook recently banned ads involving Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency. And that's just Facebook's latest ban topic, including guns, porn, and something called personal attributes. But there are basically no rules around political ads, which are highly regulated everywhere else. Phil Weiser is a professor of law and telecommunications at the University of Colorado.
There is not a developed regulatory program over internet-based platforms. If you look on TV, there are certain words you can't say on television, public TV, because the FCC licenses broadcasts license. But in the case of Facebook or Twitter, there's no licensing, there's no oversight, there aren't any developed rules.
Well, and we know that Facebook in particular has banned certain types of ads, tobacco, you know, drug-related products, weapons, and also cryptocurrency. Can broadcasters do the same thing on television or radio?
Generally, there's some discretion that parties have about placing ads. The one major exception is political advertising, where the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, actually has rules requiring the provision of political ads, and they give people even certain privilege rates if they do so on broadcast. With respect to Facebook, again, they're in a somewhat law-free zone.
Right. And in fact, we've been hearing in the last couple of weeks that some debate about whether certain campaigns paid more or less, that the Trump campaign may have paid more than the Clinton campaign to advertise on the social network. Would that be legal on TV?
TV, it's very clear. You have to offer the best available rate for political advertising. That has to be done in a very transparent and equal fashion. With respect to Facebook, there's no transparency. And we don't really know what sorts of arrangements are being made, who's buying the ads, how much they're paying. That's now being debated in Congress. Mark Warner, for example, has a bill saying that Facebook should be subject to some of the same rules that happens on TV, so the political ads are transparent and that they're also fair in terms of who has to pay how much.
You know, if you look historically, have we always been a little bit reactive in this way? Nobody necessarily saw the potential power of Facebook, maybe even including Mark Zuckerberg, and now, you know, the medium has to exist for a while before we get to the rules around ads?
Absolutely. If you look back, radio, TV, these technologies developed and regulation followed. Where you try to regulate before technology develops, it's really hard to have any idea what you're doing. So there's inevitably a lag before something becomes socially significant.
That's Phil Weiser, professor of law and telecommunications at the University of Colorado. In the absence of federal action on digital political ads, states are stepping in. New York, Washington, Maryland, and California have all proposed regulations around political ads online. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Robots the size of blood cells, Earth-like planets outside the solar system, science fiction.
No, science faction.
Join us, Seth Shostak and
Molly Bentley and
KSJE, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Big Picture Science.
Big Picture Science steps back to get the wide-angle view on science and technology.
So think big. Big Picture Science, Saturdays at 8 a.m.
on KSJE, the information and cultural beacon of the Four Corners.
This program is supported by MyLabs, patient-ordered testing. San Juan Regional Medical Center is expanding its services to offer low-cost blood screenings year-round, now offering walk-in convenience to get the blood tests you want when you want them. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, is available at the hospital's laboratory and the Outpatient Diagnostic Center on 30th Street in Farmington. With nearly 20 tests available, there's an option for everyone. My Labs, patient-ordered testing, a wellness service of San Juan Regional Medical Center.
I'm Scott Micklin, and my guest on the radio this morning, we are talking about urban and community gardening in San Juan County. Molly Jackson-Nielsen is here. She's the project coordinator with Farm Farmington, that was with the San Juan County Soil and Water Conservation District. Once again, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here to talk about this concept and the idea, I mean, ideally to get all of us with backyard gardens or porch gardens or part of a community garden growing more of our own fruits and vegetables, I guess, during the summertime.
Yeah. And a lot of folks are familiar with victory gardens that we had here in the United States during the war. So it's not a new concept.
Well, some of us are too young to remember that. But we've read about them in our history right. books. So I do understand what you're saying. But yeah. And it's a concept, though, that we maybe have moved away from as our country becomes more urban and less of an agricultural-based society, right?
Yeah. So we've really gone through a lot of transitions as a country. We've urbanized quite a bit, as has the rest of the world. In addition, farmers have had a hard time with you might remember the term get big or get out. So it's hard.
Right, family farm.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And at this point, a lot of times sons and daughters of farmers aren't necessarily the ones that want to farm. Sometimes it's kids from the city who say, I want to farm. I don't have access to land. I don't really have any background in this. So it's a question of connecting folks.
Right. And so here we are. And again, you can do this on a small scale, as you were talking. If you have an apartment or a small yard, you could turn it into a garden, theoretically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're lucky here. A lot of folks have access to irrigation water. And if folks don't, there are ways to really conserve water if you're on city water or using rainwater in a way that can be productive in growing crops in your backyard or at your apartment, like
right.
I do.
Right. And we were talking about that during the break a little bit, that there are lots of irrigation ditches that crisscross San Juan County, and folks might be surprised to learn that maybe they've got one mm-hmm. under the sidewalk or in the backyard mm-hmm. or in the alley or whatever it might be. And there's maybe ways to identify if that's true, and maybe if their property has water rights that they would have access to.
Yeah, definitely get with Sean Williams and Blaine Watson at the Office of the State Engineer at the San Juan County Complex in Aztec if you're interested. And if you do have water rights and want to find out how to develop that so that you can use them, the USDA Service Center in Aztec, it's kind of in the back end of the West Side Plaza, which is where the Conservation District is located as well. They can help you with technical assistance or funding to get yourself producing. And in addition, if you're interested in other methods like productively using city water or rainwater capture, let me know. I'm really interested in that and would love to help connect you with resources to get that going.
And some of that, so we talk about city water, and so a lot of folks, you know, want to keep an eye on their utility bills and don't want to, you know, use more water than they need to. But there is a lot with irrigation, with drip irrigation and other types of irrigation that can really, I guess, get the water that the plants need to grow and thrive without maybe costing you an arm and a leg on your water bill.
Yeah, and in addition, what folks might not realize, but I'm sure a lot do, is that it's all about soil. So if you ask any of the master gardeners or any farmers, it's more about the quality of your soil than about the amount of water you use. So what we struggle with here is organic matter in our soil. So adding organic matter, growing those fungal and bacterial communities in the soil is really what allows the plants to access the water that you're putting into the soil. So there's definitely options.
Right. And as you mentioned, soil testing is one of the things that you can maybe help folks afford to do or help
sure.
to do, right? To find
totally.
Out exactly what their soil is got plenty of and what it has little of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you can get a hold of soil tests through Bonnie Hopkins, the extension agent, and there is a cost associated. If you want help with that, let me know. We do have some grant funding, and there's a couple other organizations with some funding to help folks with soil testing.
And so you mentioned this grant, and which is what kind of has you here in this job and offers this availability to maybe help folks and maybe has a little bit of dollars to help folks to maybe get involved with a community garden or an urban garden in their mm-hmm. own setting. Is the grant pretty specific as to what you can do with it, or do you have a lot of leeway as to try to identify problems and then use the grant to solve them?
There's quite a bit of flexibility with the grant. We have obviously deliverables that are really involved with the community gardens we're working with. One thing that I'm working on right now with this grant is a guide to urban and community agriculture in our area. So that will include resources like contacts, potential funding, a map of gardens, a map of ditches, potential future directions. I'm working with a student in the San Juan College GIS program to do some mapping to evaluate options for future growing and community gardens. So be on the lookout for that guide. It will be both in print and online hosted on the San Juan Soil and Water Conservation District website. So I'm working on that actively right now.
Very cool. And so if folks want more information, you mentioned an email address. Why don't you repeat that again if folks want to reach out and ask some other questions or have specific questions that I'm not asking you this morning?
Yep. So email me at farmfarmingtonnm@gmail.com Or if you don't want to get on the computer or visit, go ahead and visit the USDA Service Center. It's in the back end of the Westside Plaza in Aztec. That's where the Conservation District is housed. And they can get you in touch with me or call them at 505-334-3090.
Okay. What about social media, Facebook or Twitter or anything like that, that folks can reach out to you through?
So the Conservation District has a Facebook that they're very active on, and I have been needing to get on Facebook. I sometimes avoid technology, but there is a Farm Farmington Facebook page, so this is a great opportunity for me to get it in gear and...
Okay.
Folks can reach out to me there.
But if folks want to maybe keep track on what the program's doing this summer, that page may have updates and things that you'll be doing as things get closer to the growing season.
Yes. Thank you, Scott. So yeah. I believe it's Farm Farmington, New Mexico is the page.
Do a search and you'll find it, I bet.
I think so, yeah.
So there you go. But that's a great opportunity. And so when we talk about the growing season, you and I were talking about snowpack and things like that during the break as well. We are somewhat blessed with having a longer growing season than other parts of the country. I mean, things do kind of warm up here, we hope, eventually, as we get it close to summer. And as you mentioned, the growers market will be opening in June because some of those early crops will be ready for harvest in June this summer.
Yeah, and it's obviously still a challenge. You know, we don't live in a just inherently productive area, but folks have been growing in this region of the country for thousands of years. And I think Brandon Francis, who works with the Ag Science Center, he said, if you can grow in the San Juan River Valley, you can grow anywhere. So it is a challenge, but we have the sun, we do have the growing season, we have the water. So you just got to figure out how to do it. And there's a lot of people here who have been doing it. And we have a lot of crops that are adapted to this area that have been bred for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So it's really something precious and something that's worth holding on to.
And as you mentioned, that gazillion master gardeners who are in the community that are happy to share some of their knowledge with a budding gardener who maybe wants some advice on growing maybe a few specific crops or some tomatoes or whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
They can certainly provide some of that advice, I would think.
Yeah, our master gardeners, they're amazing, and they have volunteer hours that they want to fill. So you can get a hold of them through me or through Bonnie Hopkins, and they actually teach classes. They're teaching classes at the Sycamore Park Community Center, as well as the Nature Center this spring. And so you can find those classes, I believe, on the County Extension website.
Okay. You can check that out, everybody, and see what they have to offer. And I guess other ideas would be, if folks really are getting into this, new technology with greenhouses or things like that, or winter growing. I mean, there's all kinds of other possibilities for folks to really take off with.
Yeah. High tunnels, low tunnels, hoop houses, greenhouses. There's a million options. Capacity Builders has a series of courses going on right now in water flow. So their website, I don't remember the www. but it is Capacity Builders. And so there's a lot of information there on drip irrigation and hoop houses.
Interesting. And they're another great community partner who they have offices in downtown Farmington, I know. But as you mentioned, they're offering these classes out on the reservation and in western side of San Juan County. And so,
they're doing some classes. And there's also a different organization who's also doing classes in water flow right now. In addition, Dene Introspective is a group out of Shiprock, and they have a greenhouse that they're working on, and they're also going to be offering some gardening classes in Shiprock this season.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned that there are a lot of community gardens that are up and running. Maybe the most well-known would be maybe the one on Apache Street that we've been talking about this morning with New Beginnings. But there's other ones at some of the churches in some of the communities and other communities throughout the county, actually, not just in the three cities of Farmington, Aztec, and Bloomfield.
Yeah, so there's a garden in Waterflow at the Higher Ground School. There's a garden starting in Shiprock. There's at least one garden in Bloomfield, one in Aztec, and there's a number of them. The Path Community Garden in Farmington, they're actually, they have a grant proposal out for organizations that want to work on that garden. So you can contact Amy Williams with Four Corners Foundation on that. There's the New Beginnings Community Garden, which is the one I'm working most closely with and is near and dear to me. So contact me if you want to get involved with that. Bethany Christian Church also has a garden on their grounds that they grow exclusively for Echo Food Bank. So if you're really looking to just give back to the community and volunteer, I'm sure that they would welcome more volunteers. So there's just so much going on, and I'm sure I'm forgetting someone. So there's just a lot going on.
Right. Lots of ways for folks to get involved if they want to. And I would think this would be a really cool learning experience for kids.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Different ages.
So there's multiple. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. So there's also a lot of school gardens and greenhouses that we have in this region. Teachers are really excited about it. Kids are really excited about it. So that's another thing I'm working on is helping some of the teachers who are interested to fold that into their curriculum,
right?
Which is obviously a challenge. So,
well, and a lot of the work happens over the summer when maybe class isn't in session, right?
Yeah, and that's definitely a challenge. So, I'm working on. There's a lot of resources out there for how to get over those hurdles. So that's something that we're looking at as
okay.
well.
But for mom and dad who maybe want to do a porch garden or a backyard garden and teach the kids,
it's great.
How to grow their own fruits and vegetables or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, my family we didn't have a farm, but I grew up growing food. My dad's a big gardener, and so is my mom. So it's just, and I'm grateful that I had that gift given to me growing up. So it's a great thing for kids. Kids love to get their hands dirty. They love to find worms. They love to learn that worms are good and they're not icky. And then, you know, so there's just so much there for kids.
That's true. Well, and I guess one of the benefits of having a community garden to share kind of the wealth of the produce after a long growing season would be you don't have to be stuck with loaves and loaves of zucchini bread.
Exactly.
You can
yeah.
share that with your friends and neighbors, right? And the community
yeah.
has more of a buy-in with that.
Yeah, you don't have to hide. You don't have to open the door and throw squash into your neighbor's car when they leave it unlocked. So there's a huge number of benefits to community gardens. We're definitely more isolated in our society now. And so it helps people create community around the land. So that's one benefit. You can have a much greater variety of things. There can be more of an economy of scale with a community garden. There are educational tools and opportunities for kids who are interested or for maybe budding young farmers who might not have access to land. Maybe they didn't grow up farming. So open land, community land is something that can really help folks with that. It can also, growing in city limits addresses a lot of conservation challenges that we have. So stormwater management, heat islands, that's more of an issue in bigger cities, invasive weeds, biodiversity. Gardens create habitat for wildlife within city limits. They also create competition for invasive and noxious weeds. It's just a great, and actually a lot of police departments have started advocating for community gardens because they reduce crime. They've been shown to reduce crime in neighborhoods. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we are seeing a lot of the bigger cities like we think of, like the New Yorks and the Chicagos and the Los Angeleses doing
yeah.
more urban gardening, right? And encouraging their residents to do some of that, because those heat island things that you talked about, I know if you're in downtown Phoenix
yeah.
in August,
it's
you know what heat island is all about, right? As
yeah.
things are melting around you.
And Albuquerque is my secret one true love. They've got so much amazing stuff going on. They have a community farm that helps veterans. So
that's cool.
I talked to one veteran who, you know, her well-being and her day-to-day life
right.
is so much improved. They also have a farm run by refugees in Albuquerque. So that's a resource that I look to say, hey, what needs do we have here in San Juan County and what resources do we have and how can we connect those two? Because people are hungry. They want to, I mean, hungry literally, but also hungry to get their hands dirty and to connect with the land and to connect with their food. People want that. So.
Well, and we're already off to a pretty good start.
Yeah.
With all these things that you've been talking about with me this morning. So
mm-hmm.
thank you so very much. Once again, again, the phone number and the email address if folks want to reach out and get more information.
If folks want to contact me, farmfarmingtonnm@gmail.com or call 505-334-3090. There's a bunch of different ways to get involved that we did not discuss today. So just if you're interested at all, just get a hold of me and I'll connect you with what you want to do.
All right. Molly, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much, Scott.
You're very welcome. That's Molly Jackson-Nielsen, Project Coordinator with Farmington, part of the San Juan Soil and Water Conservation District here in San Juan County. My guest here on KSJE.